We are joined now by the quarterback for the Edmonton Elks as they will make their season opener this Saturday in BC. Nick Arbuckle joins us once again on the show. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. It's been quite the whirlwind few years for you, Nick. You know what? I guess kind of, you bounce around from a few different teams. Obviously, COVID played a factor in that for sure. How different is the offense overall, really, from Calgary to Ottawa to Edmonton? Is it that different for what you're going to run this year?
I would say overall, not too different as far as what you see on paper. Most teams run more or less somewhat the same concepts and formations. There's some differences really in the details of how you run certain things, but overall it's very similar. I think the most different thing is terminology, how you call things, formations, protections, all that stuff. And fortunate I was with these coaches on the offensive staff when I was in Toronto. So I got pretty accustomed to their coaching points, the details that they emphasize in routes and protections. And then, honestly, it was a great benefit to myself to be able to come into Edmonton last year for the last month of the season and kind of get thrown into this offense here that Jamie was running last season, because it was a lot of the same terminology that Coach McAdoo runs with his offense. It's not the exact same terminology, but a lot of it is similar. So it was a great head start on what we're going to be running this year.
As a quarterback, what's the bigger challenge, to get kind of comfortable with your teammates and the way they run their routes, or like the terminology slash plays?
I would probably say terminology. And honestly, it's not that big of a curve at this point in my career, because I have a good understanding of the CFL and been around a lot of players from a lot of different offenses. So as I've worked with receivers in Calgary and in Toronto who came from this kind of system, because there's multiple teams that run this terminology, I kind of got to learn, how different teams call things, throughout the years. And then when it comes to timing with receivers, there's some nuances to how people run routes. But I think so many of our receivers are really good veterans, really good route runners, and their body language that they have in their routes is very easy to read and easy to tell. So they make it very easy to throw to them and to kind of adjust to how they run. So overall, it's been a very just positive experience and a positive transition with the guys we have in this locker room and, the offensive system that we're running.
Nick Arbuckle joins us, quarterback of the Edmonton Elks. Nick, one of the rule changes, a significant one, you're allowed two quarterbacks on the field at one time. How often do you think you guys are going to run that? And how unique slash exciting is it for as a quarterback to, maybe you and Trey Ford out there at the same time?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how teams around the league are going to utilize that rule change or how often you might see it. I'm sure it's going to be different team with teams. Some teams might not ever try to do that at one time. Just because in my career, I never remember too often a team feeling handcuffed by the inability to put two quarterbacks out on the field at the same time. So I'm sure it'll be a growing thing to see if teams can find a way to take advantage of that. I think probably when it comes to rule changes, the most significant one is going to be the moving of the hash marks and how that affects, defenses and offenses around the league. And I think it's cool because it's probably something that it's not noticeable if you're not playing the game. If you're watching it on TV, even as a player watching other teams on TV, it's not really noticeable, how they change the hash marks. But it's such a big difference in how teams are going to be setting up both their offensive concepts and defensive coverages. And I think more and more we'll see down the road, it changed the way teams, especially on defense, set up their defensive personnel and the kind of players that they look for at certain positions.
So further to that quickly, Nick, what do you see as a quarterback? What's the advantage offensively from having the hash marks closer?
Well, advantage is definitely the more space in the boundary that you have. We changed it from 24 yards from the near hash to near sideline to 28 yards. So now if you're on the left hash, the space between the left hash and the left sideline is more than half of an American football field. So you have a lot of space, and there really is no quote-unquote boundary anymore. You can run basically your entire offense, your entire concepts into the weak side of the defense, or, you know, the boundary side of the defense. And then to the field side, there isn't so much unused space on that field, on that side of the field anymore. Now, you know, we reduced the field side by 4 yards. So we still have a lot of space out there to throw the traditional routes you might see in the CFL, like those deep corners that a lot of fans love seeing completed. But now you don't have, you know, all that yards outside of the numbers to the field that's going to be unused space, with most, and most defenses ignore that, or used to ignore that part of the field in coverage. Because they know no team is going to make a living throwing, you know, 41 yards to the sideline just to get a 5-yard completion. So I think it really stresses defenses to cover the entire field. But there are some definite drawbacks too. There's no short throws for quarterbacks anymore. They're used to, you know, quarterbacks could kind of rely on throwing boundary side routes because they were shorter throws. You had a tighter sideline so the ball can get there a lot faster. And you didn't have to worry about trying to, you know, your DBs breaking on the ball in the air, but now there is no, there are no short throws. So you have to have a good arm with good zip and good anticipation in your throw, because every throw is going to be, you know, a challenge.
Joined by Elks quarterback Nick Arbuckle. Nick, there's been a lot of changes both on and off the fields for the Elks. You know, you were here for you know, for some time last year, but you know, is there a sense amongst the group that, you know, it's up to you guys to start something new here, and what does that mean for you and your teammates?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about starting something new, because Edmonton and Edmonton with Chris Jones has had, you know, a lot of success in the past. And so, you know, I think a lot of it is about bringing back the tradition and the winning tradition, you know, of Edmonton, because this used to be, even, you know, as recent as when I was first came in the league and I was in the practice roster in Calgary in 16 and then on, you know, on their roster in 18 and 19. And as recent as, you know, then, Edmonton was a place that nobody really wanted to travel to try to win a football game because the crowd was great. It was loud. And, you know, Edmonton was always a really powerhouse team and, you know, competing for Grey Cups year after year and, you know, favorites in the preseason and everything like that. So we are, you know, doing everything we can to make sure we bring back that tradition and that feel to not just the locker room and the team, but, you know, the fans in the city itself. The city, you know, loves a winner, and they're going to come out and support us when we start winning football games.
Nick Arbuckle joins us, quarterback for the Edmonton Elks. They begin their season this Saturday in BC against the Lions. And Nick, I don't know how much, you know, the Elks obviously haven't, their record hasn't been where they've wanted the last few seasons. I don't know if you care or look at, you know, people's prognostications. There's not a lot of people that think the Elks are going to be a top team right away. Is that motivation? Do players hear that stuff? Is that something that can be used as a motivator for you, that not a lot of people think you guys will be good?
You know, I'm sure it is to some people, for sure. You know, I'm sure everybody out here at this point in their career finds different ways to motivate themselves or inspire themselves to, you know, have that chip on their shoulder and, you know, come out and push a little harder, wake up a little earlier, do a little extra work, whatever it takes for, you know, you as an individual to fuel your fire. You know, personally, I don't pay much attention to that kind of stuff at all. And, I have most of the CFL topics muted on my social media, so I don't really see anything that's said or talked about anyways. I'm just trying to follow the world news when it comes to social media and find out what's going on. So, you know, from my perspective, I'm just trying to do everything I can to help this team win football games and, you know, help guys, you know, succeed and execute on the football field as best they can. And, you know, I don't need any other reason other than what I have, you know, intrinsically to motivate myself to do that better.
Nick, I want to ask you, going back to the two quarterback thing, and I liked your point. I think it's true. It's not like offenses felt like, oh, geez, we've been really limited. But there is the capability to disguise things a little bit more, right? Like if you have two quarterbacks in a shotgun formation, right, like the defense might, well, geez, are they going to, which guy are they going to potentially? Like, are you intrigued by that rule change as a quarterback? Do you think it could allow you to disguise more things offensively?
You know, I really don't know. I think that's, you know, going to be up to the offenses around the league to decide how they're going to use that. You know, if I was personally a play caller, I don't know how much I would try to do that because, you know, just when it comes to doing anything different or anything abnormal, it takes a lot of practice time, takes a lot of reps to get it right. It's not like you can just draw something up and go and execute it without putting a lot of time into it on the practice field. And so, you know, the more time you put on the practice field in one thing, the more you're going to take away from doing something else. You just have to figure out the risk reward because, you know, we have 4.5 hours in a day to do as well as we can and get our game plan ready. And if you spend a lot of time doing something that you're only going to do once or twice in a game, then there's a lot of things you're going to do a lot in the game that you don't get to spend time practicing.
Well, Nick, best of luck on Sunday, a season opener. Now, I do have one last one for you. Day three of every Elks practice is now. It will be. There'll be no media availability. That's under the CFL rules, right? So trick plays. I asked Coach Jones. He kind of chuckled about it. Where do you come out on trick plays? Are you a big fan of them? Would you like to see them?
If the trick play involves me catching the football down the field for a touchdown, I am a huge fan.
Oh, okay.
I do not know if that is ever going to happen, but if it does happen, I am going to make sure I have a nice touchdown dance or something.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Well, we'll make a deal right now that if you are on the receiving end of a trick play touchdown, you're coming back on the show like the next day afterwards.
Oh, 100%.
100%. Okay, I love it. I like it. Awesome. Thanks, Nick. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you for having me on.